Now we will finish the summary of the book of Daniel. And the author concludes this with, or continues this, the book of Daniel has been the object of criticism for ages by unbelievers. The first attacks go back to the 3rd century A.D., so in the year 200 A.D. The book of Daniel was then described as the work of a Jewish writer from the 2nd century B.C., so some 500 years before this man's time, is the first accusation that Daniel did not write the book of Daniel. The modern critics hold similar opinions. So whatever this man came up with in the 3rd century AD, that it was by some other Jewish man that wrote it 200 years before Jesus came, then that incorrect thought has stuck among modern critics. The reasons mentioned against Daniel's authorship are, he lists three. The first, imagined historical inaccuracies. Number two, languages in which the book was written. And three, Daniel's theology. The main reason for criticism, however, is no doubt the fact that Daniel prophesied historical events with absolute precision. For Daniel had described in detail the Syro-Egyptian fights of the time of the Maccabees, among other events. This accuracy is simply impossible, say the critics. They say a book with such accurate details could have only been written after these events happened. So they said the things that were written in and prophesied to happen about these kingdoms that would be coming, namely the Greek and the Roman empires, they could not have been written by anyone before they happened, because no one can prophesy with great accurate detail things that are about to happen. But this is obviously God giving this information to Daniel. And then he finishes or continues with this statement. But Daniel has also prophesied precisely of the coming of the Messiah. In all of this, the words of Amos the prophet are clearly affirmed, which says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets, from Amos 3:7. So that is the only explanation of this. Not that it was impossible to foretell what was going to happen so accurately, and so it had to be a history book instead of a prophetic book. The explanation is, from Amos 3:7, God revealed these secrets to Daniel, and Daniel wrote them down, and it happened exactly how God told Daniel that it would happen. Hundreds of years, up to 500, nearly 600 years before they happened. The great theme of the book of Daniel are the four world empires which ruled from Babylonian captivity through the Messiah's coming to earth during the Roman Empire. Daniel prophesies about the four world empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. The book is divided into two great parts. The first part, chapters 1 through 6, describes various historical events of Daniel's life. To start with, chapter 1 describes the strong moral and spiritual character that Daniel and his three friends have as they are becoming young adults. Chapter 2 tells us of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's explanation of it. This dream contains Nebuchadnezzar's human view of the four world empires. This is an imposing view indeed. Chapters 3 through 6 not only show Daniel and his friends' unflinching faithfulness to God, but also indicate various customs of the heathen world empires. The second part starts in chapter 7 with a second revelation on the four world empires, but this time through God's eyes. And God envisions the four empires like four wild beasts. Chapter 8 tells us of the second and third empires. Chapters 9 of the end of the Babylonian captivity and of the Messiah being cut off. Chapters 10 and 11 tells of the kings of the north, which is Syria, and the kings of the south, Egypt. And chapter 12 foretells the end of the Jewish nation and the beginnings of God's kingdom or the Christian age. Then this last section, he writes about the 70 weeks prophecy. Daniel 9 gives exact indications on the point of time that the Messiah would appear. In this prophecy, each day represents a year. So 70 times 7 equals 490 years that this 70 weeks prophecy represents. After 70 weeks, that is periods of 7 years each, each week being 7 years, there shall be made an end of sins and everlasting righteousness shall be introduced. These 70 weeks fall into three periods. The first period was 7 weeks, that's 49 years, and then those 49 years were followed by 62 weeks, that's 434 more years. And then, so we have 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, that's 69. So we're left with the one last week, and that's the last 7 years, and that totals the 490 years. The starting point for counting these 490 years is the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. This happened in the year 455 BC in Artaxerxes' 20th year, and this is from Nehemiah chapter 2. The first 7 weeks, that is 7 years, describes the time in which Jerusalem was rebuilt under great threat from within and from without. This is partly described in the book of Nehemiah. Then follows the 62 weeks or 434 years leading up to the Messiah. After the 69 weeks, that is 483 years, the Messiah would be cut off midweek, meaning 3.5 years. And that was exactly the time of his ministry. That's the time that the Messiah was teaching the world, the nation. This can only relate to the death and ascension of the Lord Jesus. That totals 486 years for the 70 weeks because the last week got cut short half midweek. So there's not 490, there's 486 years. And subtracting 486 years from 455 BC gives us 31 AD for the Messiah to be crucified.